You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This week on Columbia Calling with me, your host Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. We're talking to Christopher Kirk, who's an American who's had some scrapes here in Colombia and indeed in Brazil. But we'll be mainly talking about his relationship with a mysterious Colombian woman, V. And she definitely flew too close to the sun, and she's the subject of his new documentary out that's premiered at the Marseille Film Festival called I Touched All Your Stuff. So we're following up last week's interview and podcast with Colin Post of the Expat Chronicles, who is writing a book about the Mick, an Irishman lost here in Bogota. And we're talking to Christopher Kirk, who has had some equally interesting scrapes here in this part of the world. So tune in later and listen to this excellent podcast with Christopher Kirk on Columbia Calling and with me, your host, Richard McCall.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, and today we're speaking to a very special guest. He's at the moment in Olympia, Washington, so in the beautiful Pacific Northwest up there, you know, near to Seattle. I love that part of the world, been up there a few times. But anyway, he has a story to tell. This man's name is Christopher Kirk. He is originally from Flint, Michigan. Most of you will have heard of Flint because of the Michael Moore movies and so on. But, you know, the depressed city up there in Michigan. But we've got him on the show because he's got a story to tell, and he's got a documentary going out and doing the rounds at film festivals. Anyway, so Christopher Kirk is a storyteller and is the king of the crazy girl stories. And he has a history here in Colombia, but we're talking to him in Olympia, Washington. Christopher, welcome on the show.
Hi, Richard. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Christopher, for your time. Now, listen, you've got this documentary. We're going to start with that. It's called I Touched All Your Stuff. Tell us about this. This is a Colombia-based, the subject matter is Colombia-based. What is it dealing with, your documentary?
Well, the movie is basically my story of how I got involved with a girl, and I should just get into the story itself, actually.
Okay.
The story began about 11 years ago, and I was just in my office at work, and I was an IT guy. I'm a total geek, and I was at work. I was bored, and I found this article on the internet about Pablo Escobar's hippos. I don't know if you ever heard this story.
Yeah, up there near Puerto Berrio in Hacienda Napolis.
Right. Well, I saw this story on the internet, and I didn't know anything about Colombia or South America at all. And I just saw this story, and it really grabbed me. I thought it was a fascinating story, and I thought, I want to go down and find these hippos and maybe write an article about it or something.
Okay.
And my friends, of course, they all said I was completely insane. I don't speak any Spanish. I don't know anybody in Colombia. I'm going to get kidnapped. I'm going to get killed. There's a war there. And I just said, I don't care. I'm going to go find these hippos.
Okay. Did you go out and find the hippos? Were you in there in the Lower Magdalena Valley?
Actually, that never happened. I've never seen them.
Okay.
Even after all these years.
I've traveled extensively down there, but never seen them, I have to say.
Right. Well, of course, this is back years ago. And so what happened was that the very next day after I saw this article, I got a call from an old high school friend. And he just happened to mention another mutual friend. And he said, have you heard from this guy, the captain? And I said, no, I haven't heard from him in years. He said, well, get this. He's in the Air Force. They've got him stationed at the embassy in Colombia. Uh-huh. I said, well, give me his email address. I gotta, you know. And so I ended up flying down there. And we went to go look for the hippos, but at the time there was an unknown armed group in the area, and him being in the American Air Force, it was a no-go zone. And so we're not able to actually go there.
Okay. Well, what sort of year are we looking at here? I mean, you know.
So this was in 2003.
Okay. So we're looking at it. So it's probably a paramilitary group in that area at that time.
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was probably fine. It was just, you know, being American in the Air Force, it was just, you know.
Yeah, you're running an unnecessary risk.
Right. So, but what did happen was, you know, my friend, the captain, had lots of lady friends. And so what ended up happening was the very first person I met when I arrived was this amazingly beautiful girl. She was just the most gorgeous girl I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And we start kind of hooking up a little bit, and from the very first day, she had these kind of stories that I just knew were not true. They were just clearly not true. She told me that she went to Las Vegas in the States by herself. I thought, well, that's kind of strange. And she had this crazy story about her ex and how her ex-boyfriend was this crazy, jealous guy, and they had to break up because she flew to Cancun by herself and he followed her there in this big conflict. And you kind of know, okay, this girl's got, you know, a little bit more happening, but I don't really care because I'm only there for, you know, week or two.
Yeah. It's just, let's say light entertainment.
Right. Exactly. So it's fine. And so what ended up happening was, at the end of my first week there in Colombia, this girl says to me, hey, listen, on Tuesday I have to go to Miami in the States. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I have to go to Miami. I've got a friend who's the manager of a hotel there, and I can work for a week at the hotel, make some money, and then I'm going to go see my uncle in New Jersey for a week. I said, okay. And then she said, well, but then you'll be back in your home. Maybe I can come see you for a week. And I said, well, sure. Why not? You know, sounds great. Of course, now, obviously, that story seems a little odd as well. but again, you know, well, I don't care. I'm not going to be her boyfriend or anything, right? Mm-hmm. Sounds great. So she came out and stayed with me for a week, and it was fantastic. I mean, this girl was just great in every way. Uh-huh. And so I'm kind of in love with this girl at this point. And she goes back to Colombia and she says, well, what do you think? Are we like novios now? And I thought, well, okay, sure, I guess. But, you know, we'll just see how this goes. And so that kind of went on for half a year, 6 months.
Okay.
And she's calling me every day, and everything's fine. And there's just a few little things here and there that are kind of odd. But basically, she's great. And ended up after 6 months, there was one weekend where she just vanished. Her cell phone was off. She wasn't at home. She never contacted me, nothing. And when she got back, I called her on a Sunday night. I called her house. She answered the phone and she said, hello, 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 and then hung up the phone. After 6 months, it's the first time she's ever done anything like that. And I said, no, the hell with that. That's what I tried to explain to her at the very beginning, was just, you know, I understand you're an adult, you've got a whole life, and just don't try to play these kinds of games with me. And your life is your life, and you have a good time. But just the, you know, that kind of game is just, no, forget it. And so I called back immediately, and a guy answered the phone. I said in English, yeah, hi, is V there? Mm-hmm. Her name. And the guy says, sure, hang on. And she gets on the phone. She goes, hello, 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 hello. And she hangs up. I said, okay, well, that's the end of it. This has been really great. It's been weird and fun. And that's a good place to just stop, right? And so I wrote her a short email. And a couple hours later, she found her email. And she called me just in a panic. She's saying, I don't understand what you mean by this. What do you mean? We're gonna break up or what? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, this is over. Mm-hmm. She said, well, but I wanted to come stay with you for the holidays for like a month. And I thought, oh boy, you know, my options are, you know, usually for the holidays, I would go back home to Flint,
yeah,
which is a terrible place. And nobody I know is there anymore. Everybody left Flint. You know, I go home and it's really bad. So I thought, well, I can either spend, you know, the holidays in Flint, or I can spend the holidays with this really hot girl who's a lot of fun.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to say it's just, you can tell something's building up here, and we're going to take a break from this first segment, and we're going to come back in the second segment and continue. I know, because I'm on the edge of my seat, but I know that the listeners are too. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to continue this story. So this is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall talking to Christopher Kirk in the United States, and we'll be right back to continue this story.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
You've got questions about Columbia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Columbia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house? Find a job? Find a doctor? Start a business? Invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at columbia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's columbia.escapeartist.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling, and I'm Richard McCall. I know you haven't left us, because we were left on the edge of our seats by Christopher Kirk, who's up there in Olympia, Washington, telling us the basis for his story, for his documentary called I Touched All Your Stuff. Now, Christopher, you were just telling us that there was this sort of, you were in, I mean, basically the relationship had built up to an extent with this Colombian girl who was calling you every day, and then one day she drops off the face of the earth only to reappear and pretend not to take your phone call.
Right.
Please continue.
Right. Well, then she says, I want to come stay with you for like a month over the holidays. And now what would you do? Right. You know, I mean, given the options, well, you're going to say, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. Let's just have fun. See what happens. So now, try to make a long story short. She went to Chile with one of her friends, and she asked me if I could fly her from Chile to Los Angeles. And I said, man, that sounds like a great idea. I've got friends in Los Angeles. I can meet you down there. We can go to Disneyland. We can have a great time in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. So I did it. So now she gets off the airplane in Los Angeles. It's Christmas Eve. She gets off the airplane. She has no baggage. She has her carry-on bag, and uh-huh, that's it. Uh-huh. And as soon as she gets off the airplane, she says, oh, you know, it's Christmas Eve, and I don't have a gift for you. Now, of course, like any man would, I said, well, don't worry about that. You are my gift, right? You know, uh-huh. She says, no, I have to buy you a gift. I said, okay. And she said, well, you know, I have a friend of mine from Mexico who lives in Los Angeles. I said, yeah, I remember you mentioned him. She said, well, if you take me to his house, you can drop me off, and I will go shopping and buy you a gift, and I'll be back like in an hour. Mm-hmm. And I said, that sounds like a great idea. I want to see who this Mexican guy is. I'm curious, right? What's going on? So I take her to the Mexican guy's house. The Mexican guy works at the airport. He's just a kind of a fat older guy. His wife is there, right? Kind of poor, live in a bad area. So I said, okay, well, this isn't like a romantic kind of engagement, obviously. She goes away for an hour, comes right back. She's bought me a nice shirt, and everything seems kind of sort of normal, right? But I'm still wondering what the hell's going on. Now, like 5 days later in Los Angeles, I'm in the shower. I can hear her. She's on my phone making all these phone calls in Spanish and things. I get out of the shower, and she's very excited. And she says, well, guess what? My Mexican friend is having a barbecue. Can I go? And I said, well, sure, we can go. And she said, no. Can I go alone? I said, well, why do you have to go alone? She said, well, it's a bunch of Mexicans, and they don't really like Americans, and it's kind of awkward. And I was like, wait, hang on. Look, just have a seat here. Sit down. You need to understand that I'm really in love with you, and I like you as a person. I respect you. And you should understand that whatever it is you're doing, I'm probably going to be okay with it. It's cool. If you have to go make a porno or something, it's fine. You know, just let me know. And she would not budge from her story. And the story just kind of evolved, just kind of the same story again and again. And finally, I got tired of it. I said, okay, fine. I'm just going to drop you off at his house. Go for it. And so I dropped her off at the Mexican guy's house. She was gone for maybe 3 hours. She came back, and she bought bags of stuff. She went shopping at the mall with the Mexican guy. And I said, well, wait, where'd you get the money for all this stuff? She said, oh, no, I had money saved to shop. And I said, okay. Now, at this point, I couldn't figure out what's going on, right? I mean, what's this girl doing? Is she some kind of international call girl, or is she a drug mule? It doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, if she was smuggling drugs, I was with her this whole time, except for the 1 hour when she arrived, but she didn't have any baggage, and she couldn't have smuggled anything. Like, if you swallow drugs, you know, it takes a long time to get that stuff out. She was only gone for an hour. You know, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
So I'm just baffled. I have no idea. This girl's obviously up to something, but I don't know what. And I'm feeling like I'm kind of being involved in this, right? Whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, she's got you completely bewitched.
Yeah, I don't know what's. And now that we're in Los Angeles, we're having a really great time, and I'm really genuinely having a lot of fun. And she starts telling me how she wants me to quit my job and move to Colombia to live with her.
Right.
And I think this sounds great. You know, I'm bored with my job. I want to live in Colombia anyway. I love Colombia, and this sounds really cool. But obviously, there's something I should know about, right?
Sure.
And she's not opening up to me at all. So what happened was, I eventually said, look, I have to go back to Olympia, my home. I have to go back to work. And if you want to stay in Los Angeles for a couple of days and just come up on the weekend, that sounds fine, because, you know, I've got to work a lot, and it's cold, it's raining, it's, you know, Northwest. But if you want to stay in Los Angeles for a few days during the week and just come up on the weekend, that'd be fine. If you want to come with me, that'd be great too. And she said, oh, no, I love you so much. I want to come with you. I said, okay, great. And then like 10 minutes later, she thought, well, maybe I will stay in Los Angeles for a week. And I said, well, I kind of thought you would. Yeah, all right. So she ended up staying in Los Angeles for 3 nights, and she could never tell me where she stayed. What she was doing, who she was with, just nothing. She would just blank me. She would lie to me, obviously. And now I'm getting kind of angry, right? Because up until now, it's all been, you know, it's all been fun. But now she's telling me to change my life and live with her in Colombia. Well, this kind of changes things a bit.
And she's not being wholly honest with you. If you're going to go and live together, etc., she's asking to move. You want, you know, some clarity about the situation.
Right, exactly. I'm not worried about whatever it is she's into. That's fine. That's her business. But just, you know, don't lie to me about it. You know, just tell me a lie that I can believe, at least. You know, she's really bad at it. just, you know, something I can believe in, at least. And so, but what happened was I came back home for 3 nights. And while I was gone in Los Angeles with her, I had let one of my friends use my apartment while I was gone.
Right.
And my friends are very creative, kind of oddballs. And my friends had decided to cover my entire apartment in aluminum foil.
As you do.
As you do, right. So now I'm it sounds kind of like, I mean, when I walked into the apartment, I said, oh, everything's covered in aluminum foil. Ha ha, that's very funny.
Okay.
And then I started to look around, and the detail in the apartment was insane. It was ridiculous. They apparently, what had happened was they had spent 5 days, and up to about 30 people had helped.
Those okay. Projects.
And they had covered everything exactly in aluminum foil, but with the caveat that everything had to be usable still, just shinier.
Okay.
So it was kind of amazing. And I'll skip over all the details, but it was a work of art is what it was. It was spectacular what they had done. And one of my friends said, well, why don't we call the local newspaper and have them do a little story about this? This is kind of amazing. And I thought, well, sure, why not? Okay. So my girlfriend comes back. Now, well, I should say the newspaper came and they ran a story. And the next day I started getting phone calls from all these shows. Mm-hmm. Good Morning America called. You know, and then it's all these other – it's NBC and then it's CNN calling. It's MSNBC calling. And they all want to do interviews. They want to – do film on this thing, and it's ridiculous. I didn't even do anything, right?
I mean, you were the victim of a prank.
I'm just a victim, you know. Did you talk to the guys who did it? They're the cool guys in this thing. You know, one of the, so it's just gone completely insane. And at the same time, I got to deal with this V girl. What is she doing? And now I'm an IT guy, and I should say that as an IT guy, this is the kind of thing that very much goes against everything I believe in, but I knew how to do it. And so I just, you know, when she was there in Los Angeles for 3 nights and she's lying to me and telling me stories and I don't know where she is, what she's doing, I figured, well, you know, I've only got just a short time more with her. I better just find out whatever I can.
Uh-huh.
She's not going to tell me anything.
So you hacked her emails.
Yes, I did.
Right. Wait, now, Chris, this is another fortuitous moment for me to break up this show, because we're going to have to take another short break, because we're going to leave the listeners on another cliffhanger that you hack her emails and we're dying to find out what goes on. But we're going to take another short break. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McColl talking to Christopher Kirk in Olympia, Washington. We'll be right back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back, and without further ado, this is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McColl talking to Christopher Kirk, and we're just at the point where we know that Christopher has hacked V, the Colombian girl, his girlfriend's emails. Please continue, Christopher.
Okay, so now what I find in her emails is that she's got boyfriends all over the world, right? She's a busy girl is what she is. And currently she's got a boyfriend in Tokyo.
Right.
And she's emailing him and saying, oh, I love you so much, and I'm in America now, and I'm traveling around on a bus by myself. I don't know where I'm staying, so you can't call me. I'll keep trying to call you, and blah, blah, blah. And he's emailing back to her saying, you're such a lying whore. I don't believe any of this, you bitch. You know, where'd you get the money for this? Blah, blah, blah. And she's emailing back and saying, look, no, it's all true. Trust me, believe me. And I really hope that we get married this year. I'm like, okay. And then there's some other boyfriends as well, you know, kind of around here and there. But that was the one that really kind of struck me.
Of course.
And I'm thinking, well, how is this going to work if I live with her in Colombia and she's getting married to this Japanese guy? This doesn't seem like it's going to work out very well for anybody.
Not really, no.
But I don't tell her that I know any of this stuff. You know, I don't want to try to confront her with it. So I had to go do a live interview on MSNBC because of this foil apartment nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go straight from there to meet her at the airport. And it was just crazy. It's completely insane. And so for the next couple of weeks, I basically just spent all my time trying to convince her that I know you're lying to me. I know things about you that you don't know I know, and you just need to just be a little more honest with me. You know, I just tell me who you are and what you're about. I can deal with it, mm-hmm. but I can't deal with all the lying. You know, it just doesn't work. I can't live with you like this, and it doesn't work. No matter what I think of, and I try to think of every possible angle, nothing works. And so finally, at the very end, was kind of the last straw was, I said, look, you know what? Forget all this crap that I know, whatever I don't know, whatever, it doesn't matter. So look, the only thing that you and I really need to be honest about is, you know, if you're having unprotected sex with other guys while we are, that's kind of a thing that we should probably talk about. That's just kind of a health issue. And I knew that was a mistake to even bring that up. That's kind of a dick move anyway. But I did it. And she got really angry. And she said, how dare you ask me that question? I've only been with you since I met you. It's only you, only you, only you. And I just lost it. I lost my mind. I got really angry. And I said, no, you know what? And we were in Oregon at this time. I said, you know what? I'm going to sleep in the hotel. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to sleep in the hotel. You're not. You can just fuck off. You know, the airport is over that way. You know, look for the airplanes as they're coming in. You'll find it eventually. Just get the fuck out of here. I've had enough. And she starts crying. What do you mean? I don't understand. What's going on? And I said, well, okay, here's what's going on. Is I read your emails. And I know about this and this and this. And this Japanese guy, what's up with that? And you know, you're crazy. What's going on? And she said, oh, no, you don't understand the Japanese guy. You just don't understand Spanish all that well. I was telling him how much I love you and I want to marry you. Mm-hmm. You just don't understand. And I said, oh, wow, B, now I get it. Now I understand it's not your fault. You're just honestly crazy. There's something really wrong with you.
she's a compulsive liar. She's a
compulsive liar, yeah. I mean, this is nobody would do this. This is not normal. It's not your fault. I get it. Okay, come in. Sleep with me tonight, and tomorrow I'll drive you to the airport in Seattle and get you out of here, and it's fine. Yeah. And so the next day, I'm driving her up the highway, going to the airport. I'm going to drop her off, and very quietly, everything about her changed. Her face changed. Her posture changed. Everything changed. Very quietly, she admits to everything. She tells me, yeah, I was right about this guy and this guy and this guy and the Japanese guy. I thought I was in love with him. I wanted to marry him. And I don't know how you know all this stuff, but you were right. It's all true. But I'm really sorry. I really want to make this work with you. And I love you. Can you please just give me a chance? And I thought, oh, Christ. Now what do I do? You know, that's all I wanted to hear from the beginning was that. And I said, okay, I'll give you a shot. And so kind of make a long story short. So I let her stay with me for the rest of her time there, and she went back to Colombia, and she was still in school, and she got back to Colombia, and I said, well, let's just see what happens. If you can be that honest with me all the time, then I'll move there. Uh-huh. We can have something.
And this would be moving to Bogota, I assume.
Right. Okay. Right, exactly. I said, but you got to be that honest with me all the time. That's what I want. That's what I need. And she's okay. Yes, I understand. So she goes back to Colombia. And practically the first thing that she does, she calls me up in the morning one morning. She says, oh, guess what? My classes don't start for one more week. So I've got another week free. So I'm going to go to the coast of Colombia with my cousin Karen for the week. And I can already hear it in her voice. I already know this is bullshit, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to cut this quick here. What ended up happening was she actually went to Miami for a week. And she gave her cell phone to her cousin Karen to pretend to be her whenever I called. Which is amazing, right? So I was trying to call her, and I'm already suspicious. I know something's going on. I'm calling this number that I think is V, and this girl answers, who sounds a lot like V, but she's not answering anything I ask her. She's not. She's just rambling bullshit. And of course, it's because her cousin Karen doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So poor cousin Karen, is trying to pretend, and she has no idea what I'm saying, and she's just making up stuff, and it's not making sense. So I piece everything all together, and eventually I end up talking for a good hour. I end up talking with a guy in Virginia who was her sugar daddy.
Right. So you found his details from having hacked the emails.
From a lot of long story details. But eventually I got his information. I kind of understood what was happening. And so the guy was kind of an old man, and his wife had died a few years earlier, and he was just having fun. And he was a really great guy and was very cool with me and kind of explained everything, how it worked. And V wasn't really a prostitute, but, you know, she knew how to use her talents, you know, to get the things that she wanted. So sure. He was the guy in Miami and the guy in Cancun and the guy flying around the world. And he would help her out with her money for school and to live on and stuff. And really cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can make a long story short. Eventually, I did end up moving down to Colombia. I did actually live with V for a short time, kind of knowing that it would go south, of course, haywire. But at the end of the story, anyway, I found out that the Mexican guy who worked at the airport in Los Angeles was a baggage handler.
Mm-hmm.
So how it worked was that she would go down to Chile, and her contacts there would put a bag of drugs on the airplane under her name. And when it got to Los Angeles, the baggage handler there would just pull the bag off the airplane.
Yeah. So then he would take it off, you know, clandestinely.
Right.
Therein lay the link why she had to go out to these areas of Los Angeles.
Right. Exactly. So it took me years to figure all this stuff out about her. And again, there's so much more to it than that, but that's the
crux of it. But
basic story.
Despite, let's say, all of the red flags and the alarm bells going off, and having checked the emails and spoken to the guys, I mean, you still came down to Colombia. I mean, you were truly, can I say that you were besotted with her?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I was absolutely in love with her. But as well, I also knew that this obviously wasn't a girl that I would ever marry.
Right.
You know, I would never trust her, but she was a lot of fun. She was a great time.
I assume you're no longer in contact with V. I think
no. In fact, what ended up happening with her though was that she ended up finding a guy from Canada she married, an older guy again, and he divorced his wife and married her, brought her to Canada, and he emailed me one time, kind of years later, and said that V is very much normal and they're quite happy.
Oh, well.
So she kind of became normal and everything was fine for her.
Did it just took that routine lifestyle in Canada to make her normal?
I suppose I don't know how much I believe it, but. But so the interesting thing about it, the whole story though, was that it really gave me a lot of insight into how Colombian women kind of think. And I've told this story many times, and it often inspires arguments after the story. You know, a lot of people say, what's wrong with you, Chris? You're crazy. Why would you go on with this relationship? And other people say, no, V is crazy. She's just wrong. The best argument I ever heard about it was a guy and a girl got into a fight, and they said, same thing, where they said, well, Chris is crazy, something's wrong with him. The girl is also just completely insane. And the guy argued. He said, no. He said, Chris is not crazy. I would have done everything he did. And furthermore, V is not crazy. She's playing the same game that most of the girls play here. She's just playing it a bit harder. She's kind of at a higher, more advanced stage.
Okay.
And I kind of sat back and I said, well, you're both right, you know, I think. And V is a very extreme case, but I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, that her actions were to some degree rational. And how do I know? If I was in her shoes, I might have acted the same way.
So are we suggesting that she's coming from a situation that's so, let's say, oppressive, or so, that she's doing whatever it takes to get ahead?
Right. And not whatever it takes, because V, I think like most women, you know, she didn't want to do just anything. She wouldn't do whatever it takes. You know, she wanted to actually be in love with a guy, but she also wanted to have a better life. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to kind of get somewhere, and she wanted to see the world, which as a Colombian person with a Colombian passport, you know, that's not easy.
Yeah, no, you're right. But the thing, you know, when we have a society with such inequalities here, as in Colombia, where, as we all know, sort of 10 families pretty much run everything, and then beyond that, it's very difficult. Of course, the opportunities aren't available to everyone. I'm going to take a moment again, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll come back for the final segment of the show, and we'll continue talking about this fascinating story and how we can, you know, just develop the conversation around what we're saying. We've got the whole back story to V and your relationship with her, and the fact that she was, you know, she did obviously smuggle drugs at some point or another, and to make ends meet, or to get to a stage where she wanted to be. So we're going to take a short break. I'm talking to Christopher Kirk. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we'll be right back.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In 3 easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're just going to continue talking to Christopher Kirk up there in Olympia, Washington, a native of Flint, Michigan. But we've been really, you know, he's been we're very honored to have been sort of let into this very personal, intensely personal experience that Chris had with V, this Colombian girl. But we've sort of, let's say, we're now scratching beneath the surface, and we're coming to a realization that perhaps V is not crazy, and perhaps she's manipulative, but in her form, just to, you know, let's say, improve her lifestyle. I don't know, but let's continue, Chris. So, I mean, what you've had these arguments with people, either accused you of being crazy. They accused her of being crazy, but whatever happened, you moved down to Colombia.
Well, yeah. And you know what's funny is that the girlfriend that I had next after V was absolutely an amazing human being. She was incredible, and she was the opposite. She was completely honest to the point where I had to tell her, "Please don't tell me everything. I don't want to know everything." Okay. She was incredible. That woman was, and she told me a story. She she was a lawyer, and she was very smart, and she had done kind of amazing things. And she told me a story about how she was applying for a new job, and she told me how it works there, which I had no idea. She said, look, when you apply for a job here in Colombia, your resume has a headshot on it.
Yes, that's true.
And so any job that's advertised, that's out there, is going to have thousands of applicants. And now I know from experience too that if you're having to go through thousands of resumes, you're going to have to find some way to just make a quick cut. Yeah. So if there's headshots on them, especially if it's a guy doing it, then you know what's going to happen, right?
Right.
You know the hottest girls are going to get the cut right off the top. So then she says, well, now she goes to an interview. And she said, at the interview, they ask you, where do you live? And if you don't live in the right area of town, you're not getting the job. And she says, and furthermore, they ask, where do your parents live? And if your parents don't live in the right area of town, you're not getting the job. And for us kind of as Americans or Europeans, that's kind of hard to imagine. But that is the reality that they face. And especially as a woman as well, she explained to me that, you know, as a woman, you may very well be expected to perform sexually, and nobody's going to say anything about it. That's just part of the job. If you won't do it, there's 1,000 other girls who will. And that's a very kind of normalized thing that happens there. And so I was listening to her story and just thinking, my God, this woman is amazing. She is brilliant. If she was in any other country in the world, she would be a CEO or something. She's incredible.
Yeah.
But this is the life that she has here. And so to look at a woman like V and think, well, if that's what she's up against, you know, I don't think I blame her all that much.
Yeah, well,
that's a really tough thing. And to compound that with, I think in Colombia, what I was understood was that if a woman is over the age of like 30 in Colombia, you're kind of done. You have to get married before that age, or it's over. And so your best bet as a woman is not to work hard or to find a good job or to get ahead for yourself. Your best bet is to marry well.
There's a lot of conversation about that, isn't there, here? I married to a Colombian, and I know it's that her parents are like, you know, and when are the grandchildren? My reaction is that, well, let her, you know, create life first, you know. She didn't study for nothing.
right. But there's no joke. It's a tough environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us guys who come from outside of Colombia, I don't think we really appreciate just how cutthroat it can be.
Right.
And hard on them. And I've heard a lot of stories like this.
We're talking about something that's incredibly, incredibly important, of course, the sexism and machismo in Colombia. Of course, it is present in Latin American countries, but Colombia seems to be pretty strong on this. I'd like to say that probably it's changing, but it's very slow, snail's pace. I mean, it really is. Go on.
You know, I always say it's kind of a Cold War kind of happening there, because I think I hate to generalize, but I think a lot of the men there, they all cheat. You know, they all play the field, and the women know it, and it's a hard environment. Like I knew a girl who said that she lived in Europe for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it took her the first year. She lived outside of Colombia for one full year before she ever realized that she could be honest with other people. You know, it never occurred to her that she could just say the truth. So I think that's really important for us guys to kind of realize that this is the environment that we're in. It's not like how it is at home.
No, it was sort of saying it's almost a culture of dishonesty between couples.
Right.
Okay. All right. Fascinating stuff. So you've earned this name, the King of the Crazy Girl Stories. I have to say, I think your next book, because we know that you're writing a book, it's almost finished, and of course it's a book to go alongside the documentary, which is called as well, I Touched All Your Stuff. Listen, you were just in Marseille, and you launched the documentary there. How was it received?
Very well. I was amazed by how many people came up to me and they were really touched.
Yeah. How do you build a documentary around this story? I'm actually intrigued.
Well, that's pretty interesting. The filmmakers actually met me when I was in the prison, in São Paulo, okay. And they heard this whole story about V, and they thought, well, this story is so crazy, and is this all true? And what I told them was, look, there's a hard drive back at home in storage. All you have to do is go back to where I'm from, look at that hard drive. It's all there. I've saved everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got really interested in kind of going through all my stuff on my hard drive. So it's kind of whereas my friends kind of touched all my stuff with my apartment. Mm-hmm. Foil and that kind of thing, and I touched all of V's stuff, just learning everything about her. And then the movie makers came in and they got obsessed with the story and they touched all my stuff.
Yes, so it's a three-way.
Right. So it's actually for me it's a excruciating, mortifying thing. It's awful for me, like kind of as my ego. Mm-hmm. And I can see kind of on screen all the times when I was an idiot and things I've done wrong that I would never do again. But that's part of the story that I hope that other guys can learn from.
It's been cathartic for you to tell this story, I hope.
I hope, yeah.
Now, I do have to ask, because I know that people will be asked, you were in prison in Sao Paulo. I will quickly just touch on it. For what reason? You don't have to tell me, or you can just say it's in the book.
It's not so much in the first book that I'm writing, but it'll be in later books. I was involved in the smuggling of drugs.
Okay,
that's what I was doing.
And getting them out of Brazil.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there we go. So just to clarify that to you. And how did these people? How did these filmmakers contact you? How did they know about your story?
They just came to the jail I was in, and they were making a film about foreigners in the jail.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then they met me, and I said, look, I can tell you my story, why I'm here, but it'll take 4 hours, 6 hours.
You know, this wasn't like the show like Banged Up Abroad or something like that?
A little bit like that, yeah. And they said, well, who's this guy saying that he needs like 6 hours of our time? What the hell is this? And then they went and found my blog and my, you know, my other stuff in the internet. And they said, well, this guy's not like everybody else that we've met.
Mm. Well, what is your blog, Chris, for the people out there?
That was my old blog. Actually.
Okay. So we're waiting for a new one.
Send you a link.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. And now, okay. You're in prison down there. And which prison in Sao Paulo were you in?
It was a place called Itaí.
Itaí. Yeah.
It was a prison for foreigners only.
Uh-huh.
And almost everybody there was there because of drugs.
Uh-huh. How long were you in the prison?
3 years, 8 months.
Wow. It's a long time.
Sounds like a long time, yeah. But it went fast, and it was very interesting. One of my favorite things about it was that I actually saw guys. It's a long story there, too. But I saw guys who were in prison for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. They're in prison for having drugs. And they walked out of prison with drugs.
Huh.
And so it just makes you go, what is it that people think is being accomplished here?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things about the war on drugs.
This gave you time to reflect on the story, of course, then, and to develop it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of time to think, I think, in prison.
A lot of time to think, and everybody's bored and will want to hear a story, and, you know, yeah.
So let's say now the documentary was well received. I touched your stuff. I touched all your stuff. It was well received in Marseille. Where do you go from here, Chris? Where's the next festival that you'll be at?
We're not sure yet. I think it's going to happen, though. And we got a lot of response off the movie. So keep an eye out, I guess.
Yeah, keep an eye out. We will be keeping an eye out. Now, and will there be any opportunity that it might be shown here in Colombia?
I don't know yet. We have no way of knowing.
And of course, will you be letting the Canadian husband of V know that it's out?
It's a great question. I kind of doubt it. I think they should just be happy and just live in peace. You know?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe she's found her peace. That's it. And doesn't need to be upset with that. I mean, honestly, Chris, it's an amazing story. And it opens our eyes to a different way of life and a different attitude towards cultural values. I think at the end of it, that's this is an underlying message there. All I can say is I'm really appreciative of your time to talk about this. Is there anything else you'd care to share with us in the last couple of minutes of the show, further anecdotes or anything?
Oh, there's so much I could go into. It'd take hours. But I guess, the bottom line is when I meet guys who have met girls in Colombia and they're very excited about it and they say, well, no, my girl, she's not like the others. And I try not to be that guy who's kind of a dick about it. I'm not. There's a lot of really wonderful girls there in Colombia. There's some absolutely amazing women. But my advice is just for guys to just go slow. Go slow and just be careful out there.
It's true. And, women are famous here for being incredibly beautiful. But this is something beneath the surface as we're talking about. It's fascinating. So we'll just we'll wait for that. We'll link and we'll wait to hear about the documentary. And I wish you all the best of luck with that. And of course, when it's a roaring success, we get you back on the show to talk about it.
Sounds good.
So Christopher Kirk are talking to us from Olympia, Washington. Just like to take this moment again. Thank you so much. And listen to all those listeners out there. Obviously, look it up. I touched all your stuff. Look it up. The book will be out at some point and it will be on Amazon. And the documentary is going to be in festivals, hopefully near you in the coming future. Christopher, thank you again and enjoy your time up there in Washington.
Thank you, Richard.
All right. So this has been Columbia Calling, and I'm Richard McColl. Please get in touch. Tell us what you think. That's columbiacalling@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @ColumbiaCalling and, of course, our website, Columbia Calling Radio. So this is me signing off from Bogota. Until next week.
This podcast was produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great-sounding podcasts.